Yeah, lor.
Oh, this is what we hate.
This is what I feared. Wait, we should just pass one.
Why? We'll give some ethnic flavor to the footage, no?
Alright. Oh yeah, it's performing arts.
This is a performing.
Then you can ask STV to also give money.
He's running his own company. Hold on, yeah. I'm not so used to this. No, no, it's okay. I'll sit over there.
Yeah, they are right. If you throw them out, can you give it?
All right.
It's
okay.
True. They are. It's a crossing thing.
Okay, we'll start. And
okay. Wow, that's auto, is it?
No, it says to sync the video with the.
Oh, to sync like that. It's very impressive.
Sorry.
Do you... So you videoed that even?
No, no it's from the theatre. It's from a film person. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, good morning, Alvin. Our first question is...
Sorry, just in case, Can you just do this, Melvin Tan?
Oh, introduce myself, yeah.
Director
okay.
of the TNS and I directed Crossings.
Okay. Hi, I'm Elvin Tan. I'm the artistic director and founder of The Necessary Stage, and I'm also the director for Crossings.
What was the stimulus or the inspiration behind this production?
I guess first was the collaboration, because we saw traffic at our Fringe Festival and we were quite intrigued by their aesthetics, which was more kind of playful and so we kind of we invited them to collaborate with us, and when they said they were able to get the funding, they said they could start. So we were thinking of what could we possibly do together. So we went over to Croatia, phase one, and it was Harish, myself, and Najib, and then we explored some ideas, and that Croatia and Singapore are both like ports. We have a good harbour, you know, and a lot, in that sense, a lot of people pass through Croatia and Singapore, yeah. So it's quite cosmopolitan kind of setting. So we have those similarities, but of course, other than that, there were a lot of other differences in terms of cultural outlooks and all that, yeah. So we did some brainstorming and some kind of basic workshops together, and we were trying to see what we wanted to explore, and all of but there were differences in the sense that the Necessary Stage people were more more of community, whereas the Croatian artists were more individualistic, as in their orientation was in, you know, their inclination was that way. And so we discussed a couple of stuff and what artists wanted to actually explore, and the themes were a bit disparate and different. And we, after that, we came back to Singapore and we were discussing things on email, and then later Shada came into the project as well. And in Croatia, the title Crossings came about, yeah. Because Croatia is Crow, and then Singapore is Sing. Yeah, so the director of traffic said, why don't we use this term crossing as a title? Yeah, so it was a working title as in CRO and capital SING. That's the spelling. Yeah, but when we came back to Singapore, we just wanted it to be crossings, as in spelled out that way, moved away from the original suggestion. And from there, I guess we got the theme of how the cultural differences and our historical differences were there, and what happens when actors from different cultural, historical upbringing meet, and what happens at that point where we meet the crossing itself. Yeah.
Did you have a theme or a central idea that held the concept together in the planning or creating?
Yeah, so that was it that held it together, crossings, and the idea of us, the two, you know, actors or people generally from two different sensibilities, and when we meet, what were the similarities and what were the differences? Yeah, so that kind of held every time when we explored certain things, we were seeing how we would meet in that idea or that concept.
What are your main artistic or theoretical influences, especially on this work?
Theoretical influences. I think it was it moved to a bit of a postmodern aesthetics, in the sense that it's non-linear, in the sense that it's episodic, in the sense that the connections were more lateral, more associative, rather than our storytelling is not like you know, what happens and then the next day what happens and the next day what happens. So it's not a causal kind of link. Yeah, it's not cause and effect. Yeah, so it participants were very individualistic in their approach, so we wanted something that we could kind of collage or montage it together, yeah. And we were looking at significant juxtaposition of stories and how these and how they interweave, and how these in juxtaposing these episodes, what ideas would actually be suggested. So in that sense, the work has to be imaginative, and the relationship with the audience has to be one that is that the audience have to kind of be imaginative, and to be a kind of co-author, as to also make meaning and not just interpret meaning. Yeah. So we knew from the start that we were doing that kind of work, which is different from the type of work that is done by Harish as a playwright, where the work is a bit more linear or flashback, but more playwright oriented. This one was to be a bit more performer director oriented, with the playwright writing some scripts or some texts. Mm.
Is there an aspect or an idea from this production that you wish to develop further in subsequent works, and why?
Yeah, we have been working like that before the Crossings project. We have had God Eat God and Past Caring with Australia, Separation 40 with Malaysia. So we have, and also with Russia, Sofa Men. So we have had this kind of director-led, interdisciplinary kind of work. That's one trajectory of the Necessary Stages work. The other trajectory is your playwright-oriented work. So this one, with Croatia, we found it quite liberating, in the sense that when we put the things together, we were able to be more open to trusting our artistic intuition, and something that is not too burdened by a cerebral approach, you know, like, will audience get it? I think instead, when we put the things together, there were a lot of things there were a couple of stuff where we didn't feel we need to over-explain, that we wanted to just take the leap and wanted to trust the audience, and some audience members took the leap with us, conceptual leap, and went with with how the play unfolded, the performance unfolded. Yeah, so that was something I took away and I learned from Crossings, that if you do a work like that, of course you will divide the audience, that some will really hate it and some will really like it, but that's the risk one takes with exploration or experimental work. And and I think that is something I am itching to actually explore, and usually that happens after you come back and you've done some safe works and milder exploration, and you know that yeah, you have it, and the audience, you know, like some of the works that are more popular with mainstream, and then you just have the appetite to start exploring again, and you want to take risk again. Yeah, so yes, definitely there are these elements of associative lateral thinking which Crossings actually enabled us to do, which I would actually take and move it forward to other projects in the future.
Did you have a target audience in mind, and were you consciously trying to communicate anything to them?
Because we were doing for the studio season at the Esplanade, they've been known for taking risks and presenting more exploratory works. Yeah, so I think we were looking out for that kind of audience, and we also organized the annual M1 Singapore Fringe Festival. So looking at how do we reach out to these audiences who like or look forward to fringe works or refreshing works or works that are not constructed in a conventional way or conventional theater for that matter, where you have performance art elements and it's not obeying strictly theatrical conventions. So you're looking out for audiences like that, but of course we're looking out for also audiences that are used to your mainstream work, because we want to of course convert new audiences. Yeah, so but the risk we will be taking with your mainstream audience is that they will either be their eyes will be open, or they would realize that they are quite interested in works like that, and therefore you gain them over. And of course there will be mainstream audience that will still not want to take the leap and still will hate it. Yeah, so to answer your question directly, we weren't discriminatory in that sense. We wanted to just play it to any audience that would come and be exposed to a work like that. It's just like if people are used to chicken rice, we'll be introducing this is like snake soup, so for them it's like it's edible, but it's not something you eat every day.
Okay. Is there any audience feedback that you would like to respond to?
No, I guess there were the the feedback I most treasure are those that come up to me at the end of the show and say, yeah, Ken, I did like it, as if they felt, we felt that it's going to be so challenging a work that, it's going to be difficult to relate or identify or like it. Yeah. So their response was quite, I've never heard this before, like when people come out and say, yeah, I can enter the world, I can relate to it. Yeah, so that was like nice, pleasant surprise. The others, feedback, there were people that were asking for, the questions were related to like transitions and to like, how do you interpret this and how do you interpret that? And I guess it's difficult, because if you are talking about interpretation, then it's no longer art, so to speak, because then you will be sharing the creative team's ideas and interpretation. It's a kind of work where actually the creative team would be curious about what the audience would be thinking, because what they take away, what they think, can and should in a way be different from the creative team ideas of why we put these episodes together, which is the expected response to a montage or a collage. Yeah, the connections with the fragments might be apparent, you know, not real yet, but you might take some time to mull over it, and like 2-3 days later you might find, oh yeah, actually now I get it, I get a way in to actually interpret how, you know, so the interpretation need not come immediately after the show. Yeah, so I kind of like it when I'm able to meet people who have seen the show, but you know, talk to me about a week later about the piece. Yeah.
What were some of the main artistic challenges of the production?
Oh, the main challenge was that the funding kept falling through for our partner, the Traffic Croatian side. Yeah, there was change in government, change in policy, funding and all that, and because of that, we weren't able to have phase two. So those things was quite traumatic, because our template was phase one, phase two, phase three. So phase two and phase three got collapsed, and but it opened up possibilities of working in a very different way. So like most of us, most artists do, is that when there are challenges, you either collapse under it or you turn the negative to a positive. Yeah, which we felt we did, and we started to have our own meetings instead, our own rehearsals in phase two without the Croatians, and we improvised, and a lot of stuff came up from there, with multimedia and all that. A lot of vocabulary we were exploring, and in fact, vocabulary that we can reuse for future. What we did was that we recorded, and then we have the rehearsals and the different versions of the improvisations, and we re-looked at them ourselves, and we took some of these and uploaded on YouTube and sent it to the Croatians, and the Croatians did likewise. They did some of their rehearsals and also sent their versions to us. Yeah, so in that sense, when we came together, despite the fact that we did not meet, the materials were not totally new to us. We kind of, both sides kind of knew, or a certain level of knowledge of where we were processing our fragments.
What type of collaborators were you looking for with this production?
We were looking for collaborators that were really outside our comfort zone. And Traffic, yeah, they were really outside our comfort zone. Quite way outside our comfort zone. The most outside our comfort zone we have ever worked with. Because they're more performance artists, they're more not conventional theatre practitioners, yeah. And they are a collective of very individual artists, yeah, with very strong opinions and strong minds about certain ideas, yeah. And on our side, we were a bit more communal in our approach, yeah, because we were more like collaborative and communal in that sense. So now, how do we actually bring two sensibilities together and put them on a stage, you see? And what happened was that we realized along the way that we were not going to look for resolutions or to how to resolve these two sensibilities. What in the end Crossings was about was actually highlighting the differences of the culture, and to say that you know, when we juxtapose this, the differences should be highlighted, that and there were moments of connection, there were episodes, but the connection, the moments of connection were very brief and very transitional, or transient rather, yeah, transient rather than rather than it being like pet or very romantically handled. Yeah, so that was how we found the process inform the final outcome.
What kind of preparatory training was necessary for the artists involved in this event?
I think we were all trained in because Traffic was 23 years old and we were 25 when we met. I think we all had our separate training in the sense that, you know, they were doing things in their kind of aesthetics for a long time, and then Shada and Najib had their own respective training, you know, in physical vocabulary and things like that. So we were able to kind of apply the training because there was enough time, because the Singapore side met on our own. Yeah, and because of that, we were able to kind of find out the chemistry, or at least discover the limits. And working with Bunny also, who's the music, the sound designer, and Zahan, who was the multimedia person. So in that sense, the different disciplines had to kind of work together to find a vocabulary. So phase two was very important to the Singapore portion of Crossings, because we ourselves were new to each other. It's the first time actually this combination has come together for an international collaboration. So we had to find our own vocabulary on the Singapore side. So phase two gave us that opportunity to kind of train together, because, you know, you have kind of your own respective training, but when you come together, you have to kind of train as an ensemble of artists before we met with the Croatian side. Yeah, so that we did with phase two, and that gave us substantial time to actually explore, and to also make mistakes, and to also find which parts that were exciting for us, and how we want to keep those parts. Yeah, so phase two was an important phase for us to train as an ensemble.
You described a bit about phase two.
Mm.
Can you neatly tell us what was your originally intended phase one, two, three, and then the real executed one, two, three?
Mm. Phase one is always like brainstorming. Phase one, in fact, Shada, Bunny, and Zahan were not in the picture. We just brought Najib and two other girls that were more production side, and we weren't sure whether we were all going to be in the future of the project, but we just went there to also meet them and to also talk to the artists there. So we went to Croatia and to kind of also find out about their cultural history and know them, and that they is an opportunity for them to know us as well. So phase one actually fulfilled that. Yeah. Actually, phase one for Necessary Stage, we do a lot more workshops and a lot more improvisation, but meeting them, they wanted to discuss more than they wanted to improvise. Yeah, so when we did some improvisation, like Najib did an improvisation piece that was like 20 minutes long, for them, they freaked out. They like, oh, this is like almost a complete piece. Yeah, and we said, oh no, actually we do, you know, like one rehearsal, so we might do even one rehearsal, we might even have, you know, three or four of what you saw of Najib's work. Whereas for them, that is working too much for phase one. Yeah, so already there was a cultural difference. But that, gladly, we found out because we went over there. Yeah. So phase one was more that kind of nature with any other company from any other country that we have done in the past. It's more getting to know you and what themes and what issues we are interested in. So a few months passed, and phase two was to be... again, the two the practitioners from two countries coming together and exploring more improvisations, yeah, more pieces coming out of improvisations. That means that would be the Singaporean artists as well as the Croatian artists working together. So if that was the ideal process, then there would have been a bit more meeting and a bit more similarities. A bit more threading between the two, then the outcome of the work would have been different, totally different from the outcome of the work that we had for this Crossings, yeah, this version. Yeah, and then phase three would then be polishing the outcomes for phase two. yeah. But because we didn't have the phase two where we would meet, then only the Singaporeans met and the Croatians were doing their own thing. So the differences started to consolidate. Yeah, because it was done separately in two different countries. Yeah, and then when it came together, we were the montage was made up of fragments that came from contexts that were more different, right? In phase two, we would have then built a common context. Yeah, we would have worked that out, so there would be more commonalities in the final outcome of that version. Yeah, but because that didn't happen, but this is to also say that the process does contribute to the outcome, and the process is tempered by bureaucracy and funding when you are doing intercultural international work. Okay, good. I'm so bored with my own voice. So long winded.
Only one last question. Yeah.
Chee.
And in any so, other comments?
I'm amazed at the memory is coming back.
Right, it's good, right? It's such a good, like, you know. Yeah, I like that.
Oh no, that's an over rehearsed line. I've used it many times. Someone told that to us, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it was M1. There was a guy that said, because it's more mainstream, so... And he likes how we curate M1 Fringe. And when he saw a few of TNS works, that's how he described it. See, it's not like chicken rice, it's a bit like snake soup. I was like, okay, good analogy.
Got benefits for you.
But we also have a bit, we also have chicken rice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you can continue. Sorry. It's just
too. I know, to synchronize, yeah.
If given more time or an opportunity to revisit this work again, which part of the work would you consider changing and why?
Okay, I guess I would address the common context because I like the differences. Actually, I like the fact that we didn't have phase two together and the outcomes we had was, you know, forced to be highlighting the differences. But I would have kind of wanted also the common context, a bit more of the struggle between the differences, maybe a little bit more of the tension and the conflict of the differences. Because now we just the work just kind of brought the sensibilities of coexistence. And wherever there was those brief meetings, the brief meetings had it was a bit more mellow and because it was tender, as in because we did not meet and clash. Yeah, so the work might need something like that as well. But in order to have the clash, you need the intimacy of each other's cultural context. And if I had more time and if I were to redo the work and we could meet, then I would actually develop that sensibility and put it into the work, which I think will make it more complete. Yeah, but we are used, experimental works are always processual and never fully, absolutely completed. Yeah.
This is an open-ended question. Do you have any other comments?
I think this project is a very good project. Okay.
Maybe you might just want to talk about the next one, the Japanese and how it looks.
Really?
Why not?
It's because a different... Oh, okay.
But okay. Isn't it in the similar series? I mean...
No, like it's international intercultural collaboration.
Yes.
Yeah, so okay.
Intercultural is
yeah,
still.
Yeah. Yeah. Our next project is with Japan. Yeah. And Japan has a different culture in the sense that it's more on firm ground, as in there's also sponsorship over the other side, and the sponsorship has been confirmed, you know, and then we know where we're moving, and we met up with them in phase one last year, and we met with three groups, two groups were from theatre companies, and one was a loosely a loose group that, you know, a producer brought, you know, some actors together. So Sharda and Najib, you know, went over with Harish and myself, and we worked with them. And it was interesting because we had more, we were able to actually create more common context and explore that world. And so that world of a Japanese man married to a Singaporean woman who lives in Japan, and how, you know, she has different expectations because she hired a maid, because that's what you do in Singapore. And in Japan, that's not thought of because it's very expensive. So there were all these cultural differences that were dealt in that kind of work, which, you know, and also the relationship of Japan and Singapore in the sense that the history, because there was World War II, and there was an interview done, it was Skype in, the Japanese guy. There are two Japanese involved in this that live in Southeast Asia. One is an actor and one is an academic. And they talked to the younger Japanese about the war. And the younger Japanese, of course, did not hear the full aspect of the war, because for them, when they studied in the textbook, it was more that they were, Japan was the war hero, although they lost, but more that the Hiroshima, Nagasaki, you know, where they were victims, and that the Japanese people died, the soldiers died because they were defending the nation. Yeah, so they weren't told about the atrocities. Yeah, so the Japanese people that were living in Malaysia and Singapore that were in the project, they are in their 40s, late 30s, 40s. And they have been facing discrimination in Malaysia, Singapore because of their forefathers and the war. And they were telling the younger Japanese their perspective of Japanese being in Southeast Asia. And the other one was a Japanese actor, who is married to a Malaysian and living in KL, and they have a child. So every time he is invited to act, his roles would be a Japanese soldier, and it would be cruel. And he is trying to find the humanity in the Japanese soldier. And we learn from them that you must understand that these Japanese soldiers, they were young Japanese people just snatched from the paddy fields and brought into the war. So they were serving the military guy, you know, who, it wasn't the people that wanted the war. Yeah, so you must understand that they also just innocently got conscripted into the war, and how the war, you know, kind of brought out the heart of darkness in them. And it's just a different entry point. Yeah, which then for us, we couldn't see it because we just saw the Japanese as cruel. Yeah, and so what will happen, and what's interesting now is that is the Japanese people that are initiating the desire to want to broach the topic. It's not the Southeast Asian Singaporeans that want it, because then it would be a vendetta in art space. Yeah, so this would be interesting about the history as well as the contemporary relationship between Japan and Singapore. Now, for this, in contrast to Crossings, this is called Mobile 2, because we've done a Mobile 1 before. This, in contrast, gives us a bit more stronger conceptual foundation. The concept has a stronger foundation in terms of what we want to do with the work. Because there's a kind of a starting point, or there's a kind of sensibility, thematic sensibility, where we are going to, it's going to springboard us into the project. So when the Japanese come here to work the next phase, we will be bringing them to to Sentosa, the Wax Museum, the Surrender Chamber, to go to Changi, to go to the cemetery garden, where the Japanese comfort women and the war victims were buried side by side. So these things are in Singapore. And when the Japanese people come to visit these places, they would then have to review their country from the perspective of Southeast Asia. Yeah. But the whole play is not going to be just about the war and the relationship between Japan and Singapore that way. Yeah, it would be too reductive. The relationship would be more holistic than that. But at least that would kind of reposition their thinking about their relationship with Southeast Asia. And hopefully whatever transpires from that realization enters into the process of the improvisations that we will be seeing coming up in, when they come to Singapore.
Okay.
Can, right?
I just had a thought that, do you like to record just an audio about how you felt the artistic contributions